Real Business Owners.
What's up, Real Business Owners? Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. Today, I'm bringing you my friend over the last year, Jane Powers. She is a female entrepreneur and one of the best that I know. She's amazing at selling from stage and learning how to speak. And I know you guys are going to get a lot of great information out of this episode, not only on how to run and operate a business better, but also on how to speak better as well. As always, you guys, if you get anything out of this episode of value, please drop us a rate, a review, share it with your friends and like-minded real business owners. We're on a mission to help as many business owners as possible, and we love this community and everything you guys have done for us so far. Enjoy the show. I was excited when we talked at the event, and you wanted to be on the podcast, and I called Trevor, and I was like, yeah, I think it's gonna be awesome, because first of all, I've been to a few of your events. And I wanted to introduce you to our show and let our audience know, like, Jane Powers is a coach on teaching people how to speak. And I really liked at your event how you said, every time you open your mouth, you should be making money.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I love also that you're not just a coach. You back it up. You also get out there and still speak and sell and everything yourself. And you're not just coaching people. Because I know we see a lot of that in the coaching industry, people that they don't back up what they say they're going to do. They're just trying to teach on something they're not really an expert on. And you've been awesome and very enjoyable to watch. You keep the crowd entertained, engaged, and then you do. You close them, and then you back it up with the value afterwards and, like you said, with the follow-up. So,
yeah. And I tell you, I've been in the speaking industry for 30-some years, and it isn't always true. You see there's so many people that go out and they are – and they haven't been on a stage for 20 years.
Yeah.
And you'll see them teaching speaking techniques. And when I go to different, I won't name names, but when I go to associations where they're teaching you how to speak, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, this is so archaic. Like, the way that it was done 20 years ago can't even, I have the woman who was the top 5th paid speaker in the nation came to me and said, teach me everything you do. Because I am a dying breed, and she's probably 60 some, 70 maybe. She's like, we're a dying breed. We cannot find a stage to get paid like we used to. Teach me what you do. And it is. It's a changing model. And I believe the industry, we've got to make major pivots.
Yeah.
Every year, I'm looking going, well, that worked last year. But I'm going to tell you, the one thing that works forever is speaking.
Yeah.
There is no two ways about it.
Yeah, I so agree with you. That's why I've just finally started just doing it, even though I'm new. I've had no training yet. I'm just like, oh, I'm just going to do it, you know,
You know, I'm getting my hands on you. You know that, right? I'm getting my hands on you too, because what you do is epically important.
Yeah.
Especially with as many people that are out there self-employed small business owners. It is, without a doubt, the most valuable piece of what people need to do in their business.
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest with you, I mean, to what Kel was saying in regards to you actually doing what you teach, you know, we've been at some events before and people are, hey, buy my social media course or buy my, and then I look them up on social media and they have 1,500 followers and, you know, there's not a lot of engagement, but people start pulling out their cards and buying information from somebody that's not even proving it to be true themselves. And I immediately got on our Instagram. I'm like, look, guys, make sure that you vet the people that you invest with, right? Yeah. Like, there's so many people out there that can act one way, but they're not actually practicing what they preach, right? And again, when Kel brought you up, that's what he told me right from the jump is, yeah, you know, she does exactly what she teaches other people how to do. Mm-hmm. And so it's just refreshing. And I think that's part of the issue with a lot of, you know, people on social media is they want to portray something that they think that they need to portray, and they're trying to portray the end result of somebody else to try to look like them, but they haven't gone through what they've gone through in order to get that end result. And so that's the issue with social media, I think, is there's so many pretenders, and it's trying to figure out who's the real deal and who isn't, whether they're on stage or whether on social media. It's easy to be tricked into, oh, they must know what they're talking about because of a 30-minute presentation or an hour presentation or a super edited photo next to a rented nice car or whatever it is that they do, right? And so
they were in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, on a vacation, but yet they take a picture in front of somebody else's house. They ain't paying that payment. You know, somebody else is paying that payment. But
yeah, I don't have a house payment.
Yeah, exactly. You don't have a house payment. It is, probably is paid off by somebody else. But
exactly.
Quit using it as a dang prop. You know, so.
And there are good speakers that have a great sales pitch.
Yeah.
But like you're saying, the end result is, I'm not getting what you said I was getting. I what you see is what you get. I'll get off stage and people are like, oh, you're exactly the same as you are on stage. And I'm like, to me, that is so confusing. And I'm like, why wouldn't I be?
Yeah.
And I've seen it. The other thing that is so interesting to watch is somebody be talking about, you know, we're really connected. We're going to really just make your business beautiful and wonderful. And I'm here for you. Now we've got an offer for you. And all of a sudden they become auctioneer. Like their sale becomes like so inauthentic.
Yep.
And it's almost like you get slapped in the face. And when you try to camouflage, because everything I do, it's all sales training.
Yeah.
It happens to be through messaging, whether it's video, podcast, doesn't matter. But everything is sales because in absence of having an invitation for your end user, you're actually a disservice to your audience.
Right.
If I get up there and I'm like, oh, I'm awesome. You're all screwed. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And I don't give them a solution or a means by which they can create the same thing. Then I should never be on a stage.
Yeah.
I should never be on a stage because if we can't show them the value, and you know, when you're at events and I see you speaking, you're like, hey, here's what you have, here's an opportunity. You know, our greatest desire is to have people bum rush the back of the room.
Sure.
Like that is my goal. I'm like, I want you to stampede each other because I want people nuts about their solution, not about me.
Yeah.
That's ego-driven business.
Yeah.
It's all about what is the solution, the vehicle. Like, you know, we're going over to San Diego for another event to speak. I'm not buying an airplane to then go to San Diego. The vehicle is my ticket that takes me to San Diego. We're just a vehicle for people. They invest in themselves.
Sure.
Like, we're the vehicle for them to get to their destination. But we must deliver on our promise.
I love that.
Probably my greatest downfall in business is I over-deliver. My training, I was a multi-million dollar producer in real estate. And I'm telling you, I was 24/7 and sometimes 37. Yeah. That's what it felt like.
You're probably like, I could probably do less and still make just as much money, but you can't do it because you've got this inner core belief of over-delivering, which I think is a great quality.
Absolutely.
I really like that message, that whole story, because that's one of the reasons I'm like, man, I do need to get some training because I want to give more value to my people that do need my service. I jumped into getting on stage with no training because I'm like, I just want to first of all get comfortable, get over the fear of doing it. And now I'm like, okay, I need to really fine tune this to not just better things for me, but for the audience and actually be able to deliver better. And so I love that whole thing. But it doesn't. How did you get into speaking to begin with?
I have no idea because I grew up, I had the most complicated, and I know everybody has a story like mine. I grew up in the most complicated family, youngest of seven. You didn't shine. Like you didn't, anything you were good at, they would shame, tease, beat it out of you to where you were just like, okay, you're better than me.
Yeah.
So I was the invisible kid. Like I did not want to be noticed. I had no self-esteem. I'm not kidding you. Like someone would look at me wrong and I'd be like, oh my God. So I started my position. My career actually started in the prison. From there, in the drug and alcohol treatment centers. From there, I was a counselor in the community, sexual abuse prevention, suicide, any intervention, any dysfunction, working with juvenile delinquents, probably because I was one. But I decided, okay, they needed me to stand on stage to deliver information. I was doing a stop rape program. And it was 200 juvenile delinquents who didn't care about that. They were going to do whatever. And I had to gain their trust, get their attention, And I'll tell you, that's where I discovered my wow factor. I stood on stage because I believe the minute you stand on stage, you should never be saying, hi, I'm Jane Powers. Good to have me. Thanks for, you know.
Yeah.
It says you're an ordinary speaker. When you get on stage, you do something different, unexpected, unrelated to your topic. So I got on stage and we had this safety yell. And I don't know where I got the nerve to do it. And I got on stage and I did that safety yell. And the entire audience, you could hear a pin drop. And I went right into my talk, an hour and 15 minutes. These delinquents sat there, took in everything I had to say. And afterwards, there was a huge line. They were lined up to say, I've lived through this. I want this for my life. I got addicted after that.
Yeah.
Because I saw the difference I could make. And I hit every platform. The only audience I wasn't that fond of were the kindergarten.
Yeah.
Like they're picking their nose, they're picking their little neighbor's nose. And I'm like, pay attention. Like it was not an audience for me.
Yeah.
So that's how I got started. And then people saw me speak and I started getting invited into corporations. Mm-hmm. And I started going in and I was doing switched on selling, which is brain science. It's kinesiology for sales. And I went in and just started doing speaking and have been doing it. Gosh, I've been on stages of speaking to one person, to thousands of people. I trained in real estate and I was a real estate trainer. So I've done so many different stages. And what my gift in the world, and I think this just grows up, you know, growing up in a hyper-vigilant environment, I'm able to connect with quite a bit of the audience, just about everybody, because I see them.
Yeah.
And some speakers, I shouldn't say that, aren't seeing their audience. They're seeing what they need to deliver and what the end result is. I am high participation, low attachment to the outcome.
Yeah.
And I know my goal and the way you've seen me sell from stage, I'm like, okay, people, now I'm going to be selling to you. Like there's no hidden agenda.
Yeah.
Buy it or don't, I'm still going to be fine. And it's about having fun and helping individuals engage. I don't know if I told you this. Prior to being a speaking and sales coach, I was a spiritual life coach.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That was my work for probably about 5 solid years. That's where I moved into my first year. I made 6 figures in corporations doing spiritual life coaching. It was basically mindset.
Yeah.
So I would teach the mindset of how do you generate the results you want rather than working harder, but being able to use the brain to do that. And then I found I was a little impatient. So, we couldn't zen at 832,000 miles an hour. I wanted to get results at the same time. So that's awesome. That is how I started.
I like how you, did you have something?
Well, I mean, everybody has most people, they say public speaking is ranked like number one fear. Yeah, I think it's death in public speaking. Right?
Yeah.
They go hand in hand. Some people would rather die than walk up there and talk to, you know, a large group of people. And so was it a slow starting to talk to maybe, you know, people that weren't at your level in terms of juveniles and then slowly getting more and more comfortable? Or, you know, what was that first experience like? Was it as terrifying as, you know, everybody else experiences, or was it kind of more of a natural thing for you to, you know, grace the stage like that?
That's a great question. It was not natural, but the rush and the high that I got from it, I'm not kidding. It was like, give me another vein. I want to be on another stage. And you'll see that happens. And individuals would be like, oh my God, because here's the thing. Where else can you get all eyes on you? Like, where else can you be the authority? And people are like, oh my God, they're sitting on every word. Because truth be told, it depends upon what audience you're looking at. But about, I'm guessing 30% of the audience, and it might be more, but about 30% of the audience will love everything you say. And then there's a small percentage that won't like you no matter what you say. So you got a 50-50 chance to win over most of the audience. So it truly is, there's a challenge to that. Now, here's the worst part. If you have a heckler, if you are not fully confident, oh my goodness. I had one at an event. I don't even know why she was in my breakout room. She raised her hand. She goes, I really don't agree with that. I don't agree with anything you're saying. Now, I was a seasoned speaker. Now, back in the day, I would have been dying. And I said to her, I said, then why the hell are you in this room? I'm like, you have the choice to come in this room. And she said, well, my friend made me. And I said, I'm going to tell you exactly why you're losing thousands of dollars in your business. And I just went at her, and the whole audience was like, brilliant, like, done. Yeah. So even her, I won her over. But it was not a feeling of, oh my God, I can do this every time without a doubt. What I discovered, this is really key. When people wing their talk, I was a winger. Somebody'd say, hey, can you come talk about this? And I'm like, absolutely, I can talk forever. And I would wing my talk. And when you wing your talk, you actually are a disservice to the audience, because you're like a squirrel crossing. You're following the thoughts in your mind, and the audience is trying to follow with you.
Yeah.
What I determined was, if I had a structure to my talk, and I have 7 key components in my talk that actually make me money, and in absence of those components, I'm actually moving my audience too much. But if I have my key components and I move them through the information, every once in a while I'll go off on a tangent, which I do, but I always come back to, they need to have a path to follow. What that does, it does 2 things. One, it serves your audience and makes them safe and they trust you. The second thing is, it helps you stay focused. So when I discovered that I needed to have a structure, it actually calmed my nervous system, because I knew where I was going. There was no unknown. I wasn't guessing to think, oh my God, I hope this goes over well. I can tell when a speaker is winging it.
Yeah.
I can tell. So what happened is, I put the structure around my talk. My confidence exploded. And the more stages I got on, the more stages I got on. And I'll tell you, I used to write a new talk for every single event I spoke at. I have one talk and one talk only. I have people that have heard me speak literally about 30 to 50 times. And they're like, oh my God, that was the best talk ever.
You're like, it's the same.
It's the same one.
They might have just been listening this last with a little bit more intent
exactly
than the previous ones.
I'm never the same, and they're never the same. And you know the story. There's 3 talks: the one you write, the one you deliver, and the one that you deliver when you're going home. And man, that's the best talk out of them all.
Yeah. It's so true.
I should have said this. Oh, all the, the same thing with an argument with a spouse, right? And then like the next day, like, man, if I would have said that, I would have just completely crushed that argument. But then you can't go home and try to bring it back up and rekindle the argument.
Yeah. You just kind of have to. I should have said this. I would have totally won that
exactly,
battle.
Yeah. Exactly. No, we've been told that as well. A lot of people are like, look, you know, when you go to a concert, and even if somebody's a rock band or whatever, they have their greatest hits. People aren't going there to see all their new stuff, and they want to just chant. You know, we want the old, you know, they want the hits. Just figure out, like, if you're a sales rep and you're communicating what you're trying to communicate, you don't do different things on every call. Your objective is the exact same on every single call, and your goal is to try to tell them the value that you could bring and where you could ultimately help and what you could solve, you know, in terms of what they're dealing with.
Like, look at Coke. When Coke came out with new Coke, zero Coke, and everybody's like, what are you doing? You completely ruined Coke. It's just another line. But no, I totally agree. And I think that is so, and that's why we, you know, Kale, you saw with the talk I do, I have my patented trademark, literally my intromercial, which is, you ditch your elevator pitch, you mm-hmm. have an intromercial, because it gains credibility. I'm telling you, I have had people call me and go, I just closed a 5- and 6-figure deal because of 17.5 second intromercial. But in my intromercial, what I say is, it, just so you know, I'm Jane Powers. Entrepreneurs hire me to speak with confidence and sell with authority, because most are boring, confusing, and inconsistent, and leaving a ton of money on the table. So I help them connect, capture, and close their ideal audience. Bottom line, this is what you like, Gail. Every time you open your mouth, you should be making money. I say that in every talk. I say that at every networking, every event that I go to. And I have people that will be like, oh, you're the speak with confidence, sell with authority person. It has become my mantra, and that is the best branding ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's just, yeah, branding just in general. If Coke had a, you know, if they kept jumping around all over the place and yeah. trying to brand this, then that, you know, sticking to, you know, if, for instance, Easier Accounting that we own, right? We don't want to jump around from one message to the next because it just makes us look disorganized. What's the yeah. message, right? What are you trying to get across? And I think a lot of business owners just don't really understand what their message is yet and what their mission is or what their core values are or whatever it is. And they need to get that figured out first so that the message could be clear from whether it comes from them or an employee or anybody that even hears about that company. Oh, they're about this, right? Yeah. And so yeah. as an individual, you're taking the branding method of a company and you're just doing it to you. And a lot of people say, whether you like it or not, you are an influencer, whether it's positive or negative, you are your own brand. When somebody thinks yeah. of Jane Powers, they think of this, or Trevor Cowley, or yeah. Kel Goodman. Absolutely. An immediate right. thought will come to their head. The question is what's that thought? You know, right. are you controlling what that thought is, or are they just going to come up with their own conclusion of what you're about, right?
And a lot of people are going with what I said this yesterday on a training call. A survey does not make for right. Popular opinion does not make it right. Because you hear a lot of people, they're like, well, somebody said I should do this. And I'm like, do you know how to do that? They're like, no, but they said I should. And I'm like, why? Well, because the market needs it. And I'm like, okay, that's a great reason to go out and do something you have no idea how to do. Like, people want to, they want to brand, they want to start their business based on what others are telling them.
Yeah.
And my philosophy is, do what you love, build it, go find the people. They're not going to come to you. Like, yeah. I haven't had anybody knock on my door and go, oh my God, I want to pay you an inordinate amount of money. I have to go out, put myself into action, walk in my talk to be able to say, if you desire this outcome, this is what I offer. But most people are out there going, oh, well, Bob told me this would be a great business idea. And I'm like, do you know anything? They're like, no. Like, I don't know how to help you. Like, I can't help you. And most people in their messaging, and because that's where the messaging makes the sales conversation as simple as, what credit card do I put it on? Honest to God, when I put somebody on a talk, on a stage, a podcast, a video, it doesn't matter. All that they should be having when they have someone contact them, their conversation should be, what's the best credit card to put this on? That's it. Make it easy, because it's transparency.
Right.
They know who you are. They know what they have to offer. The only objection, the real objection, is always money.
Yeah.
It's always money. But behind money, because that's never the truth, unless, like, you can't pay your mortgage, but behind the money is, I don't know if it'll work for me. I don't know if I'm going to follow through. I don't know. Many people, including myself, that won't work for me.
Yeah.
I'm special. No, we just have a pattern in our mind that says that won't work for you, but it works.
Do you ever get those customers that come through that you're like, oh my gosh, maybe this is all just hopeless. I can't help you. Like, they just aren't getting confidence. Yeah. They aren't getting their belief up or whatever.
I have fired clients or not allowed them to work with me. Most of the reason that is if I feel they're going to argue with everything I have to say.
Yeah.
If I'm going into a conversation, I'm thinking, man, why are you arguing? You're asking me for help. I've got X amount. And you know this, you have to position yourself. And clearly, when I stand from stage, I boldly, and this used to be so hard for me, because it felt so braggalicious, like, ooh, I'm so wonderful. But, you know, our last two events, we closed. Our last two events, we sold two ago, 760,000. And then the next one was 840,000. And those were within in 6 months of each other. And yeah. I thought, oh, that's so uncomfortable. Somebody found out about it and said, why are you not telling us that? And yeah. I'm like, you know, it is good positioning, but sometimes it's overkill. And they're yeah. like, I want to know that so I can do that. I can strive towards that.
Yeah.
So you've got to position yourself. But yeah, I've had clients that are like, oh my God, I want to work with you. And then I'll say, well, here's what it looks like. No. The first time somebody says, no, I'm like, we have no future together. And then I've had a handful of clients that I've had to let go because, and I'm happy, you know, it's a, you know, great parting of ways, and it's just not a good match.
Yeah.
And you know, this is if you want to grow emotionally, become an entrepreneur. Like you want to stay stuck, you want to go to your job, and that's fine. And I'm not saying you're not going to grow, but the minute you decide, I want to expand who I am, just become an entrepreneur. It will push every button you have. It'll question every sense that you've got. You will feel like the dumbest, most worthless person on the planet until you start generating. I'm telling you, I've been doing this only 11 years. I've been an entrepreneur 22 years. And when I started in real estate, it was baptismal by fire every deal. No deal was the same. And I was like, okay, there is no cookie cutter anything. That's the same with this industry. The only thing that's cookie cutter is you, your values, and how you want to show up. And I don't mean values like, oh, I want to save the planet. It's your core values. What are based on emotions that you have?
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, I want to save the planet. Well, why? Well, because I was not saved as a kid. Okay, well, now we've got a different value system. Mm-hmm. People are always like, well, what's your why? I'm like, yeah, my why, I think there's a why behind the why. I think Start With Why is great. Simon Sinek is awesome. But I think there's a why behind the why. Like, I want to serve more people to help them find their voice. Why? Because I didn't have a voice as a kid. So that's my ulterior motive, is to empower others to what I didn't have. My deprivation has become my work in the world. So I am on purpose every time I stand on stage, because I'm saying, here's the deal. You don't find your voice, you don't find your power. In your power, you can do anything. You don't have that, I'm not sure where we're headed.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I mean, in regards to like getting where you've got and being an individual that takes somebody under their wing and coaches them and mentors them and kind of shows them the ropes, so to speak, did you have an individual kind of take you under their wing and kind of show you, you know, how to create and structure, you know, your presentation or how to do this entrepreneur thing, so to speak?
Yeah. As far as the talk formula, that I took my sales presentations and did a mashup. Okay. And I'm like, why wouldn't I just take my talk content, mash it up with my sales presentations and call it a formula, my speak to profit formula. I started out as a spiritual life coach. I had mentors. I have a bit of I'm a free spirit. That's how I'm going to say it. I have authority figure issues. I don't like to follow anybody's agenda. If anybody hijacks my agenda, I'm like, you want me to go right? I'm just going to go left because I want to. and it's because you want me to go the other direction. So I have spent my very first, oh my God, the real estate market crashed. I was making about $43,000 in real estate. I wrote a check for $30,000 to go become a spiritual life coach. Because I'm willing to roll the dice on myself. Anything I do, I'll do it to the point where I make it happen. Then from there, I think I spent 50 grand. And then I had a handful of coaches right after that. But my last coach, I spent about $100,000. Mm-hmm. $100,000, because I am an offline specialist. I can hit a stage. I can then sell. And then the back end, we just serve. And what I knew had to happen was I needed technology. And I am technology adverse. I'm telling you, I have avoidance behaviors. And I knew I had to find an individual that had a bigger brain than mine to be able to do that. So my ability to sell, my coding system for sales, which is our code to close, that's the science of Jane. I took every personality profile, put it into the science of Jane on how to close deals. I don't care why someone leads or why someone buys or why someone is a great lover. What I care about is, how do I understand how to serve my client in the closing process when they get to their yes or no? So I took all that and have created most of it by myself. When I've had coaches, a lot of it, I'm not going to lie, a lot of it has been here. Right. A lot of it has been mindset, believing in myself, overcoming the barriers to charging more, selling more, and really understanding my own value. Yeah. But a lot of my techniques, strategies, and formulas, they come out of this this melon of mine, and they seem to work. So I have a lot of people, the intromercial, I don't even know where that came from. I just started delivering it. I'm like, oh my God, that is so good.
That works.
It works. Yeah. It's like I accidentally trip over things, but I am a firm believer. You've got to have a bigger brain than yours to be able to turn to. And even now with this industry, we're getting ready. We're launching something in January. We're doing a major pivot that is going to help. It's going to transform how we're currently doing business. But truth be told, I'm an offline specialist. I was in business. It has to be. I've been doing this 11 years, probably 6 years. And this is my claim to fame. I had no website. I had no brand. I barely had a business card. Like I had 20 different business cards that all expressed something different. I had nothing. The only thing I had consistent is I could hit a stage. I could deliver what I promised on and people I could sell.
Yeah.
And that was it. So the majority of my investment has been in online exposure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm still not great at it.
Yeah, but you got to innovate to get your message out to even more people, because your message really does help people. And I love how you tell people like, hey, I'm going to sell you some stuff, because another speaker one thing that I really learned and I liked that he did was like, hey, people have this weird stigma around sales. I like being sold and I like selling. It's good for me. It's good for you. It's good for the entire economy.
Yeah.
Everybody eats when everybody's selling. You know, and I was like, that is true. That's a really cool perspective on that. And so, yeah, it's good that you're going online and getting that message out to more people, because it's going to help everybody win. So
yeah, and it was funny because we started out, I think people are like, oh my God, this is years ago. You got to get on video. You got to be on video. And this is before video. Now video is the only way to go.
Absolutely.
Like I train people how to get on video, how to capitalize in 45 seconds. But I remember I was, oh my God, don't search YouTube for me on video. I was like, I'm Jane Power. Oh my God, they're so bad. And I went to an event and they're like, oh, you can buy a package, $3,500. We'll give you 3 1-minute videos. And I'm like, I don't like to spend money. I don't like to spend money. I'm cheap. So I went home. I'm like, I'm going to get really good at video. It took me about 3 takes. And now I love video. And because here's what's tough about being a speaker. You can see your audience.
Yeah.
When you're doing video, you're like, I'm not sure if you're listening. So do you want to know what? This is a trick I did. I took pictures literally of my clients and put them near my camera.
Oh, hey, that's a good idea.
I'd sit and talk to them and I'd be like, and so, and it just it made it so easy from that point forward.
Hey, that's good.
In regards to, you know, business in general, I mean, obviously people don't get to high levels of business without a lot of failures. You know, were struggles. What were some of the biggest struggles that you faced? Was it the fact that you had to adapt to, you know, building a website and doing, you know, basically a lot of people are forced to evolve, right? And if you don't evolve, you die. And as you evolve, there's a lot of falling on your face, a lot of struggles that will happen. What were some of your biggest struggles to kind of get where you are today?
My biggest struggle, and I'm not kidding, because I think, you know, what failures have I had? You know, that's a hard word, because it's like, when I look at something and I'm like, oh, I fell on my face. Like one time I did a giveaway, you know, the whole giveaway model. And you're like, they're going to opt in and then they're going to opt into yours. So the gal said, hey, do you have your opt-in set up? This was when I first started. I'm like, yeah, I have my gift. She's like, well, send us a link. I sent the link to my Dropbox without anybody having to opt in. It's like, they clicked on me and they got my gift. I captured 0 leads. Like, I think back and I'm like, oh my God, don't ever admit to that. And then I think that is hilarious, because I think a lot of people probably do that. When I look at I've had a couple of partnerships or JV connections where I have done things. Probably my biggest awareness around that was I ended up selling about $600,000 in 6 months. Or 700, because I wrote a check for about $350,000 to an individual that did zero work. I did 98% of everything. And the only reason I knew that was my wake up call, I thought I needed them in order to do it. They were like my human confidence, you know, Buddha that I took with me. it was me handing my power off to somebody else to say, oh, I don't think I can do this on my own. I bring them in. Well, I fully did it on my own, but it cost me because I didn't believe in myself. So I think that's probably my biggest challenge has always been overcoming my own sense of not enoughness, my sense of, well, you know, I'm not doing this well. And I think the other thing that I did early on, and this was, I woke up pretty quick to this, was I was copying. I was copycatting others rather than modeling others. I told you I was a spiritual life coach. Mary Morrissey trained me. She's very formal. She's an ex-minister. I'm not so much. And I was delivering just like her. Mm. And it was inauthentic. And I woke up pretty quick to the fact that copycatting, you know, you see everybody is a Tony Robbins wannabe. And it just be you. And I learned that very early on. But my greatest challenge has always been my head gets in my way.
Right.
My head gets in my way and I find one more way to overcome that. Like right now, my addiction is Dr. Joe Dispenza. Yeah. Like we're addicted to driving. I mean, I'm not kidding you. I am addicted to more than. And to learn how to be in the moment in my heart consistently, it takes effort. I worked in the drug and alcohol treatment centers, I told you, and I'd see somebody leaving and I'd be like, you'll be back. Yeah. Or they'd be going out of the prison gates and I'd say, we'll see you in a couple of weeks because you have no desire to remove the programming that keeps you addicted. And I think that's probably in this industry, we're seeing people fall left and right because they are addicted to their body and their mind has taken over and they're addicted to more than.
Yeah.
And it hurts relationships. And it hurts your health, your integrity, everything.
So one of your biggest mistakes, you would say, is just outside validation, feeling like that you kind of needed somebody else to just stand next to validate, you know, what you were saying. And then when you felt the power to kind of stand by yourself and kind of own your greatness is really what took you from one level to the next.
Without a doubt, that is what had me close $840,000. Mm. That alone. And it was funny because this was a number of years ago that I had that partner and a friend of mine, a colleague of mine said, you know, if you would have believed a magic rock would have given you that same power, you could have kept $350,000. So I went out and I bought a bunch of magic rocks. I bought a bunch of really cool crystals, these big amethyst. I'm like, that'll be my confidence. When I need it, I'm going to carry that big old rock around to remind me the burden of others' agenda is just me giving away my power. Mm. So absolutely. And I've talked to some of the 6, 7, and 8 figure earners in this industry. And we talk the same language as if I were, you know, the 8, the 7, the people who are making zero, we all have the same conversation. It's all the same conversation. It's how we react to it, how we turn it around.
Right. Yeah. A lot of, I kind of run the Instagram account, right. That we have as Real Business Owners, where this podcast comes from. And I get people say, hey man, I would love to jump on a quick call with you. I'm like, sure, let's do it. And they're like, well, should I do this or should I do that? And then as I'm asking some basic questions, they take themselves down the path. And I just had a call like 2 days ago. And I said, dude, all you're doing right now is you already know what to do. You're just seeking validation right now in terms of you want to hear from somebody else that you're on the right path rather than you just trusting your intuition and understanding that I believe in myself. I know exactly what I need to do. Why are you reaching out to me for validation, somebody else that you don't even know, when you and me both know what the right answer is? And I said, you know what the right answer is? And he says, yeah, I know what the right answer is. And I said, then do that. You know, I think that that's an issue that a lot of people face is outside validation. And it could be the fact that, you know, he was a young kid. And I said, look, dude, you're 20 years old. As kids, we're programmed. Anytime we do something good, what do? We look up to mom and dad or something. Hey, did you see that? You know, you hit a base hit or score a goal or something. You look in to find somebody, your coach or your parent, or you're seeking that outside validation. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe that's programmed just at a very young age. I don't know what creates that, but the older that you get, the more you let go of, you know, seeking validation externally.
Or we think we let go of it, but we still seek it. I believe we still seek it, because when you get off stage, if you think that you lost half of the audience, you worry about that. That is that external validation. Is my stuff good enough? Am I good enough?
Right.
So, and I'm older than both of you probably added up. I can tell you, I still look for, that's why we want applause. That's why we want, and being on stage, sure, it's to serve, but it's also ego driven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it all it screams is, oh my God, we love you on stage. What does that do? That externally validates that I am on the right track. And I, you know, it's, I was listening to something with Dispenza, and he talks about cause and effect.
Right.
And we always, there is a cause, and then the effect is our life. What I, my new motto, I mean, I am just, my mantra is, I'm going to cause an effect. I want to cause an effect in other people's business, in other people's lives. I want to change it in my life.
Yeah.
And it's not about responding or reacting to the environment. It's about responding, and how do we respond to that? And I'm not kidding you. I see this in this industry, in life. We are conditioned based. We are material based. We're watching, and then it determines what we should do next.
Absolutely.
And I'll tell you, sometimes I look and I think, God, I'm so tired of being me.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of looking for, you know, having that more than. And I think also part of that is being a formal, you know, you're talking about hitting the home run, scoring the basket, scoring the goal. I have played every sport. And within that sport, we become addicted to the rush. I mean, I still play sports. I'm a mountain biker. It's like, you can see my arm, like you can't even tell. I'm like all, I wiped out on my mountain bike and like hit a boulder. And most people would be like, oh God. I'm like this, yes. Like I survived that fall. Like we're addicted to adrenaline. We're just like, yes. But at some point in our business, it takes us off the rails.
Right.
I think if we're not awake, we're not paying attention, we're going to be off the rails.
It's true. I was just going to touch on the programming of what we talked about right before that, because when I went through a divorce years ago, they make you go to this parenting class, and I ended up going for a whole year. So I was like, oh man, I'm learning all this great stuff. But they're basically saying, hey, what creates that ego and what creates us always looking for that validation is we are conditioned because we praise our children for everything they do. Oh, you hit a home run, good job, buddy. Instead of asking the child, like, yeah, you seem excited about that. How did that make you feel? And then they get to choose, like, oh, yeah, that made me feel pretty good. And then they want to go out and do it more, not for that external praise, but because for their own internal, right? And so we all do it, you know. It's so hard to not praise, you know, people, employees, children, everything when they do a great job. But it is kind of a good thing to practice with your children, your employees and everything, like help them figure out how that felt to them instead of
it is a day-to-day navigation. It doesn't come naturally to us. Think about it. We went to school and we got a report card.
Yeah.
Go speak on a stage and they send you a survey. I never read my surveys. They're like, hey, yeah, your surveys are in. You want them? Like, why? Like, I don't care. I don't want to know. If people wanted to follow me and work with me, great. The other ones, I don't care if I said, I remember one survey. I stopped speaking to HR associations because I said something. The gal looks so young. And I go, oh, that's a great question. What are you, 12 years old? And oh my God, like I got us on the survey. You probably shouldn't make an age comment in an HR group. And I'm like, oh, done. But I don't care. I don't care. I mean, I care if I'm offensive. I care if I am inappropriate, unprofessional, but I don't do that. So, you know, we do. But, you know, if people do look at their surveys, they focus on that one.
Yep.
That's just how we are. We get all A's in school. Okay, that was not me. We get all A's in school and we get that one B and we're like, what happened there?
Yeah.
And we're conditioned to that.
So true.
What do you, you know, just to kind of wrap up real quick, what do you think the best advice that you would give to maybe somebody that's young or new to entrepreneurship? Because, you know, we talked about how difficult it is. And if you want to evolve as an individual, try to go start a business, right? Or if you like getting punched in the face, go start a business, right? So, You know, and I think that that's a big issue in this day and age is just people want gratification so quick. And, you know, the best things are usually the longest journeys, whether it's a fitness journey. Somebody gives up 3 months in when, you know, maybe takes a year to see the full value or result that you put in, whether it's in business, whether it's, you know, even if somebody tries to meditate for a month and like, man, I'm not, you know, Buddha yet, you know, they're just not giving it enough time. What would be some advice that you would give a young entrepreneur or a new entrepreneur?
My greatest advice on the planet is don't listen to everybody. Don't share your dream with everybody. Don't share your vision because everyone will have an opinion. I promise you, everyone will have an opinion. They're like, well, why do you think you can do that? So number one, keep it close to the chest. People that will say, oh my God, you want to walk across water? You can do that. I would only share my vision with people that say, you want to part the sea? If anybody can do it, you can. The second thing, my goal is to lower the cost of client acquisition. There's a lot of people that will invest in the hottest ticket out there. Ooh, that's big. Okay, I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy that. I usually end up with the people that have spent thousands of dollars and they're like, I haven't made any money. I'm the most impatient. I'm from Chicago originally. Everything is yesterday or the day before. Like I have no patience. So when I know I wanted to start my business, I thought I'm going to ring the cash register. I want to make money fast, but I don't want to spend a lot. I will go out and speak. Now I used to get paid to speak. Anywhere, you know, people would pay me $2,000 to $25,000 to hit a stage for an hour, get a bunch of hugs and go home. And I found that if I spoke for free, people would be like, ooh, we don't have it in the budget. And I go, you have cake? You have dessert? I'm there. Like, feed me and I will speak. You do not need to pay me. And I will go in and speak for free and I will close 5 and 6 figures from one event. You know, Jay Fassett, buddy of mine, he is a 7-figure coach, been around the planet, and he has been a speaker forever. And he called me one time. He's like, oh, I'm screwing up my talk. I'm only closing $5,000 from stage in an hour and 15 minutes. I said, most people would like to earn that. He goes, that's not good enough. And I said, come on in. We did a VIP day. He goes out on stage about a week and a half later, an hour and 15 minutes, same time frame, put him on a stage. He closed $128,000. To me, that says my purpose, my mission, and my message have come into alignment because people heard me. And what happens is we're listening to everybody else out there tell, oh, say this, say that, explain what you do. People don't care about your story. I'm going to tell you right now, people don't care about your story. And most people think the story sells. The story doesn't sell. People care about their own story. I care deeply about others. You heard me. I say, grew up in a complicated family. What I let people do is fill in the blank of their complicated family. Now they relate to me. But if I said, oh, so at the age of 2, here's what happened. People are like, okay, great. Like, so my point to all that is you must be aligned with your core message. Go out, speak for free, and then make enough money to start having others do the work for you.
Yeah.
And you know, I have a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm going to have somebody else sell for me. No, nobody can sell you until you can sell you.
Yeah.
And if you can't sell you, you can't even ask anybody else to do that. That's my personal opinion. You're the best voice for what you can do. So my number one thing is don't listen to the world. Overcome the doubt, fears, and beliefs you have about yourself as you are doing it. Don't sit and wait till you got your crap together, because quite frankly, it doesn't happen. You keep working on yourself. So get out and find ways to generate money that does, I mean, if it costs you a bit, I remember my first stage, very long answer to a quick question. My very first stage that I paid to play on, I didn't think it through. I didn't know the questions to ask. I paid $17,500 for 15 minutes couldn't sell anything and couldn't talk about my business.
Wow.
I just wanted to be on that big stage. It was Marsha Weider. I'm like, yes, I get on stage. She's asking. And then she threw at me. She said, well, do you have a free gift? And I'm like, yes, I do. I made it up on the spot. I thought, oh my God. And I'll tell you, at that event, it was a break even. The second one, I got really smart. 16,500, Suzanne Evans breakout session. Prior to the event, I closed $58,000 just through conversations to invite to the event in Vegas. And then at the event, I closed another 78. By the time we were 6 months in, it was easy six figures.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Find a place to speak. Find a place to get on a podcast like this is a generous, wonderful opportunity. And then just start moving into. And also, it is all about finding the right relationships.
Yeah, I love
that. It is the right relationships. Don't believe what everybody tells you, because most in this industry,
yeah,
most exaggerate. Most of it's a lie. Find the right people that align with what you do and who you are and support each other, but play well with others. Play well with others in the sandbox.
Yeah, I've heard in business, no matter what industry or business that you're in, what it boils down to is you're really just in the relationship business, and whoever can hold on to the most relationships and create those connections will ultimately be the individual standing still in 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. Yeah. It's the people that kind of recluse and try to only focus just on their business and trying to bring money out of their business rather than focusing on themselves and becoming a better individual, as well as focusing on the relationships. I think those two things are just as important as trying to focus on bringing in new business, because if you become a better you, you're going to see something that you didn't normally see prior with inside of your business that you could ultimately change. And if you continue to surround yourself with like-minded people, like going to events and other people that are trying to level up. And Kel's wonderful at creating relationships. Like, he's one of the best.
I
mean, you know, me not so much. I'm a little rough around the edges, and I hang on his coattails. And but Kel, go introduce yourself to those people. That's, you know, so.
I create the relationship open the door, and then Trevor sometimes closes the deal.
Yeah.
I
mean, nice, we don't close nice. Deals,
but I come in as a negotiator in some business scenarios,
because
I love a good negotiation. So, Kel's great at building those relationships, and I think that we've had a lot of success in business just in general based upon the success that Kel has in building great relationships. Yeah. So,
and I think it's so important. There are so many people getting ready to get ready to get ready. Just pull the trigger.
I know. Just do it.
Just do it. I am all about fire ready. Aiming takes too long. Like, I may end up aiming, but why aim? Because I'm going to fire again.
Yeah.
Just try. I mean, it's like throwing spaghetti up against the wall. Something will stick. Mm-hmm. And once it sticks, you'll find what really feels good to you. And don't narrow your niche right away. Some people are like, oh, get rich in a niche. You don't even have a brand to niche into. So, don't get ready to get ready and get out of your office.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. Get out from behind the computer, because that does not ring the cash register. Go find relationships. Go find opportunities and ring that cash register. And when I, like, we have an event coming up. You know this. We have an event coming up here in November.
Mm-hmm.
And at the event, I tell people, look for relationships.
Absolutely.
Come in here to learn, but more importantly, come in here to expand your connections, your relationships, your opportunities. Don't just go and look for someone to answer your greatest pain and need. Go and find solutions. Like, there's solutions all around us that are free. Like, we have people. I wanted to create a breathalyzer, a fearalyzer test. So when people were at events and they run to the back of the room and they're like, and then I'd have them do a fearalyzer. If their fear registered too high, they couldn't sign up. Like, that's my goal. Because you should never buy in that much fear.
Yeah.
You should buy in understanding and not and a sense of relief with a promise. Like, most people are buying, like, oh my God, that's the magic bullet. And then guess what happens? They're not the magic bullet. I'm not the magic bullet. That other guru, they get guru addiction. They're not the magic bullet. And then they start to, they're broke and they're still not generating money.
Yeah. They got to figure out that it's them. They're the magic bullet, you know?
Now, what's the common denominator here? Not every coach on the planet can be a loser.
So true. Well, I've got to thank you for two things. First of all, all the value you've brought our audience today. I think that there's going to be a lot of people that get a lot out of this. And I do want them to be able to find you. But I also want to thank you for being our first female guest, too, because We've had people asking. Like, why don't you have any females on? It's like, man, it just hasn't gone down that way. But I know that our men, our women are going to love hearing from you, especially the women, because we do have, you know, we got like 20 or 30% of our
30%.
Our 30%.
Anytime you need a little estrogen coming in here, I am happy. I am happy to balance out the testosterone. I'll tell you, I've learned everything. I swear to you, I have learned everything in business by playing basketball with men. Yeah. I couldn't play with the women. They got hurt feelings. They didn't. I would go play basketball with men. You could beat the crap out of them, and they still ask you out for a beer. You all are freaks. So I learned how to do business, not as a man would do it, because I just can't. I'm a woman. I get it. And to run with the men in this industry, we don't have to be like men. We just need to understand men.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I did it. I used to go into that gym, and at first they would, you know, knock me around because I was a woman. I'm pretty dang good at basketball. By about the third time in there, I'm running the whole gym. I understood men. I understood how to navigate with all the testosterone and be able to supersede and make all the decisions.
I love that.
And that's the beauty. I love that. So anytime you need me on here.
I hope our women hear that right now. And they're like, oh, I'm going to start working these men. You know?
I mean, I've said it, you know, in the past, and I've said it many, many times, that women are powerhouses if they actually own it. You know, for whatever reason, they just don't really step into that as much. You know, guys just want to pound their chest, like, look at me, look. And then sometimes, you know, like we have men salespeople, we have women salespeople, and some of the best salespeople that we've had are women that have stepped into their greatness and really took control of the conversation. Because when we've had a guy call, you know, sometimes it's a oh, this is a sales guy. If a woman calls and they have a softer tone voice, but the right mentality, and they understand how to control that conversation and utilize it to their advantage, they would actually outsell and outperform most of the male salespeople that we
have.
Which
they have done in the past, for sure.
Well, and the majority of that, I mean, we understand that, is women have such an intuitive ability, and all we have to do is listen. That's why my coding system, I was on with a guy yesterday, and he listened to the coding system, and he is just very much, I mean, way in his left brain. And the coding system, I was explaining, here are your different buyers, here are the personalities, here's how you move them to close. He sat there, and he's this big dude, and he's like, this is epic. And the women are like, oh, we knew that. We knew that. And it's, and here's the thing I want you to understand. This is not about being like this woman that, you know, uses femininity. It's about a woman that uses the right language, the right intuition, and the right strategies to be able to say, here's what I know. Here's why I can lead you down this path. It's so valuable. It's so valuable. Now, men just by default, I believe, you know, we see they make more money. And I'm not a big feminist. I'm about, listen, if someone's in front of me, I'm going to figure out how to get in front of them. Like, that is the nature of business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it is about partnering. And I joke about, unfortunately, we as women, we want to spoon and cuddle and braid each other's hair and then hope somebody buys. And that is not how we grow a business. How we grow a business is to bring out our high level of intuition and find our voice. And that goes back to the full basis of my work, is find your voice. In your voice is your power. I happen to do it through speaking and selling.
Yeah, and you're great at it.
If you'd like to come to my event to learn that, November 14th through 16th, Scottsdale, Arizona.
I want to talk about that. Where do they go find information about your event, and how do they just find you? Your website, your event coming
Facebook
up,
Facebook or Instagram or what? I mean, what do you got?
Everything you look up, Jane M. Powers, you will be led everywhere. But the event is at letstalkimpact.com. That is, you'll see. There's some video on there. You can get some information on there. That's probably the best. The rest of it is janempowers.com. So it is truly the best way to engage with me, because my events are workshop formulas. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not sit and wait and listen how wonderful I am and your butt feels numb. It is a workshop. I will teach you how to do an intromercial, and I coach everyone. You walk away with an intromercial. Get rid of your elevator pitch, because those don't work anymore. Then I move into how to speak. We literally are doing speaker training. You are going to deliver a 3 to 5 minute talk that I will coach you on. Then we're going to move into sales. Like my favorite thing, we're revealing the code to close system. And I tell everybody, bring your toughest objection, because I've yet to be stumped by an objection. I will help you sell to each and every code in order to close more deals. And we do everything in there. It is learn it and then anchor it in through action. And we keep them small. I like to have small events so I can get to you personally, so that you can go out and literally turn that into the event ticket turns into 5 and 6 figures. And I've had people do it all day long.
I know, I've noticed that and I've seen that and I've been to your events and I already have learned so much from you. And so I definitely want people to come and check you out. So if you're in the Scottsdale area or you want to go to the Scottsdale area, you guys got to look up Jane. And we'll post up some information on how to find you as well with Instagram. And then I know people are going to listen to the episode and look you up, because
Here's the truth. If you're not making 50 to 100 grand somewhere else, get on a plane, a train, a bus, hitchhike, get to the event, because that is what happens. And you have opportunities. And I always tell people, upgrade to VIP, because we are gifting you $10,000 to $15,000 worth of digital programs.
Yeah, no, I love it. I think that we'll definitely get some people over there. I think that I know I'll be there. So I'm looking forward to it as well. So,
all right.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you joining us today for the podcast. And just as Kel said, there's plenty of nuggets in there. And if somebody doesn't get value out of it, they just need to go start it again and actually listen with a little bit more intent behind it, rather than maybe being distracted while it's in the background. So we appreciate you coming on and letting us talk to you. So,
all right. Anytime. Next time we'll talk about sales or something that's even equally as fun.
That's so powerful,
absolutely.
Sure.
You know, I great to meet you, Trevor. And
yeah,
you know, same. Neil,
likewise.
I adore you.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Thanks, Jane.
All right, guys.
All right. Take care.
See ya.
Bye now.